And thanks for joining me this evening. I'm Aaron Hay. You're listening to Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5 FM. This week on Mizzou Music, we are continuing our look at this year's Mizzou International Composers Festival resident composers. And joining me by phone direct from Brooklyn is Inti Figgis Visueta. Inti, thanks so much for taking some time out of your day and talking to us. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I'm very happy to be talking to you today.
Wonderful. So how did you get involved in music in the first place?
Sure. I was originally a pre-med and physics major going into my undergraduate study, and I happened to take a understanding music class that was taught and, I guess, facilitated by the head of the music department at American University. And after that course was done, she asked me if I wanted to pursue music because I had a kind of a drive for it. And I said, yeah.
That's great. And like, were you directly interested in composition, or was it more of a performance interest?
I think it was always kind of towards composition. I didn't quite know what I wanted to do with music at first. My parents always kind of wanted me to pursue art, and I was always kind of into science. And so I think composition kind of exists in a, at least an adjacent space to kind of the more math and science that I had been originally studying.
Sure, that's great. So tell me a little bit about your process then for creating a piece.
Yeah. So I think I maybe create differently than a lot of people. Considering I kind of didn't grow up taking music lessons and really just kind of gathered musical knowledge in smaller ways. A lot of the way that I create by thinking about player process and kind of player instruction and giving them these kind of small modules of information that they can like kind of unpack and develop over time. And the trick is that works a lot better in kind of chamber ensemble situations. And so trying to apply that to orchestra has been its own, kind of very unique process. I recently had a piece read by the American Composers Orchestra, in Manhattan. And that piece has a lot to do with, breath and with choice and with players kind of really engaging with the sonic space around them, and it was difficult at first because the rehearsal time was really limited and the face-to-face time with the musicians was really limited, and a lot of my work has to do with conversations and ideas of kind of collaboratively exploring sound with me as the one giving a plan or a kind of facilitator role, and the musician really being able to see where their material lies and then be able to explore that in very different ways depending on the player.
Very cool. And so is that similar to the piece that then you just had a national premiere at the Hildegard Festival?
Yes. So at National Sawdust, which is kind of a new venue in Brooklyn, which features a lot of contemporary music as well as a really wide range of genres, has a annual competition for female trans and non-binary composers. And so for this year, I was one of three winners, and we had a concert this past Tuesday, which highlighted the three winners as well as, I think, the six runners-up. And so for that piece, the ensemble was just like a super group of musicians, Jeffrey Ziegler, who's playing Crohn's Quartet, Brenda Cuxton, who's an amazing soloist and just proponent of new music, Allison Loggins-Hull, who's part of Flutotronics with Natalie Joachim, and an amazing, Ian Rosenbaum, who's an amazing percussionist, just like an amazing set of musicians. And so being able to work with them and kind of create a score where they were able to bring all of their musicianship and their past and their expertise into this kind of space that I was giving them. It was an amazing time.
Very cool. And are there similarities between the piece that you just premiered and the piece that you'll be premiering at the end of July with Alarm Will Sound?
There are. A lot of my process is actually really based on the score and the notation that I'm kind of using as that plan. I like to think of each page of a score, and in this case, an orchestral score is quite a bit bigger, but as its own kind of ecosystem where the conductor and all the musicians are really kind of searching their way through, and that the way that they kind of move from page to page are the moments where they really have to improvise and they have to kind of create a glue that's really unique to them as an ensemble.
Very cool. And then, I guess without giving too much away, are you excited to have written a piece for Alarm Will Sound and to hear it played here at the festival?
Absolutely. I mean, they're just such a powerhouse of an ensemble, and really kind of passionately champion just music from so many different genres and so many different kinds of expressions that it's been amazing to have them to really have to open that dialogue with them and really show the vision that I have for this collaboration. And this, I guess I think of it as a co-exploration of the materials that you know I'm bringing into it. It's all the different kinds of parts of my life kind of coalesce into this really large piece.
That's very cool. Very cool. I've listened to a handful of your works, and it seems like you're really trying to build a scene, but also maybe even to like to elevate voices of members of the community who aren't heard from as much. Can you describe how that influences your process and why that means so much, or why that's part of what you're working with?
Sure. I mean, so I am biracial. My mom is Indian from Ecuador, and my father is Irish from Ireland. And I grew up in Washington, D.C., in a predominantly Salvadorian and Black community. And so kind of a lot of my roots and a lot of my core values have always been around fostering those voices, especially as someone who has lighter skin and who has access to more structural privilege. And so a lot of my pieces, actually dating back a couple years now, have really tackled with that question of, how can I create in a very ethical way? Mm-hmm. Because so much of composition and of this kind of centering of power with the composer or with the conductor, I feel like reflects a lot of the mechanisms that normally erase people and erase voices. And so that kind of line from my bio about manifesting non-hegemonic voices has manifested in different ways. So from literally just reading and reciting poetry, from asking for specifically Black or Latinx soloists in my pieces, for asking for chamber pieces where there are all people of color in the middle and white musicians on the outside, and there's one direct line of kind of musical communication coming from that middle, in this effort of creating kind of a situation of active listening, and showing that in a very musical way, so that it isn't just, you know, that music isn't just kind of this metaphorical thing, but in the way that we create the mechanisms for sound, that there's also this kind of liberatory element. A recent that's changed a little bit for me. I've been wanting to get I feel like I shifted from maybe prose to poetry in maybe the last year, wanting to really kind of dig deep into my own past and my own ancestry and my own kind of values and beliefs, and being able to really integrate those into the way that I was structuring the very pieces themselves. So focusing a lot more on structure and a lot more on giving players the tools and the guidance and the space in which they can really like blossom these like beautiful expressions, and still trying to maybe figure out and maybe trying to use this as an inquiry into how those two spaces that I've described can really meet in a practice that I can develop moving forward.
Very cool. Well, Inti, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day and speaking to us. We really look forward to hearing your piece for Alarm Will Sound, and really look forward to seeing you at this year's Mizzou International Composers Festival. Thanks again so much for taking some time out of your day to talk with us.
Thank you so much for having me.